Hello, I'm Tina Sederholm. Welcome to This Is Not Therapy, a podcast for people who like to find the marvellous in the mundane. Hello, and welcome to Series 2, Episode 10 of This Is Not Therapy, which is called Read Hitchhikers! Exclamation mark. Now, I know this episode is a tad late, but some of you will have already picked up on the reference to the book / TV show / radio programme of the mid-80s called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in the title of this episode. And so you will know it is entirely appropriate for this episode to be late. Seeing as Douglas Adams, the author of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, was well known for saying, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound they make as they go by." In fact, Douglas Adams was so notorious for missing deadlines that on one occasion, his editor was forced to lock him in a hotel suite and monitor him every day to make sure the manuscript was finally delivered. Personally, I feel an icky slick of guilt if I miss a deadline. But as I'm learning over and over again, getting laser focused on a deadline can create a lot of anxiety. Because if I have to absolutely get something done on time, no excuses, it doesn't leave a lot of room for, well, life. For the universe to play a few tricks or deal some random cards. There's a Romanian proverb, "More can happen in half an hour than a whole year." Well, I've had more of those half an hours in the last month than I've had ice creams. And it's been hot this June, so I've eaten plenty of ice cream. I'm not quite sure where that analogy went. I just didn't want to use the cliche of, oh, more of those half an hours than I can poke a stick at, but it was an odd leap. Anyway, never mind. We are here now with what I think is a lovely story. And incidentally, you don't have to have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to enjoy it. I've tested it out on someone who hasn't, and they got it. So I hope you do too. Let's have a listen to Read Hitchhikers. When I was 17, I won a balloon debate at school. I don't know if balloon debates still exist, but the basic premise was that you and your fellow debaters were huddled together in an imaginary balloon, which is losing height. The balloon needs to shed some weight if it is to rise again, so everyone has 3 minutes to justify why they should not be the one thrown out of the balloon. The audience then vote, and the person with the fewest votes, well, bye-bye. This goes on for several rounds, with further justifications for why you should be the one to survive. I didn't win as myself. In fact, we all played characters. My good friend Liz P dressed up as Zaphod Beeblebrox from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In my memory, she even made an extra papier-mâché head and third arm to really get into character. I couldn't decide who to be. So Liz persuaded me to be Arthur Dent, also from Hitchhikers, the insipid, petty-minded, won't-say-boo-to-a-goose English everyman who, in times of trouble, goes in search of a nice cup of tea. She even borrowed a tartan check dressing gown from one of the boarders at school as my costume. Perhaps Liz thought, as she was being the zany, interesting character and I was the snivelling complainer, that she would beat me. But as it was, Liz and I, or Zaphod and Arthur, duelled it out in the last round. But the audience voted for me, and out Liz plopped. My love affair with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy had begun a couple of years earlier, when I watched it on the BBC. It was a typical BBC production. Props made from cardboard boxes, graphics pilfered from Monty Python, but it was remarkably honest to the novel. All of us at school watched it, and it wasn't long before my friends and I were quoting lines at each other, saying, "Zarking this and zarking that," giggling about the triple-breasted whore of Eroticon 6. Look, it's okay if you've never read Hitchhikers, or watched it, or heard it on the radio. I'm sure you have your own books and stories that significantly influenced your life. For me, without Hitchhikers introducing me to the concept of Vogon poetry, it's quite possible I might never have dared to keep writing. Especially in the early days, when I knew what I was writing wasn't that good. To fill you in, Vogon poetry is the second worst poetry in the universe. Poetry so bad that author Douglas Adams describes it as the sort that would cause your intestines to leap up your throat and strangle you so you didn't have to listen to it anymore. Arthur and his best friend Ford, the alien posing as an out-of-work actor who saves Arthur from death when the Vogons destroy Earth to make way for a hypergalactic bypass, are forced to listen to the Vogon poetry when they're caught stowing away on the Vogon ship. Sorry, I got carried away, but you know what else? I probably wouldn't have learned how to give compassionate feedback were it not for Arthur's kind response to the Vogon captain's poetry. Imagine finding the value in something that seems appalling. Imagine that as a life lesson hidden in a humorous story. I hadn't read Hitchhikers for at least 20 years, though I had sat through the terrible Hollywood version. Don't watch it, it will ruin everything. Even with Bill Nighy playing Slarty Bartfast, winner of the award for designing the crinkly bits of Norwegian fjords. But about 3 weeks into the first lockdown, I woke up one morning and reading Hitchhikers again seemed the most eminently sensible thing I could do in the circumstances. Read Hitchhikers. The impulse came urgently, unexpected, like a surprised sperm whale suspended above an alien planet or a bowl of petunias. Douglas would have chuckled at the irony of divine inspiration, or God, if you wish, reminding me to reread a book that disproved God, or at least replaced a notion with a computer called Deep Thought. Which, if you think about it, is another metaphor for the metaphor called God. I applaud those people who type G-D. They are at least trying to grasp the ungraspable. That vaporous notion that there is something bigger than these bodies, although G-D falls sadly short. Reading a book about a book emblazoned with the words "Don't panic" on the cover is the perfect antidote to a pandemic. A book that points out time and again that nothing is what we assume. That embracing the improbable can take you anywhere. Whereas an answer is kind of the end of the road. Call this unnameable whatever you want. Energy, world, love, grace, kindness, call it Nigel. I'm not saying you have to believe in Nigel. I don't want to either, especially the way I was taught. Yet I can't help staring into space more often than I should, overwhelmed by what is common, everyday and powerful about all of us. The weird thing is, I am not a sci-fi fan. People often say to me, "Oh, if you love Douglas Adams, you should read Terry Pratchett." But I've never felt drawn to Pratchett. And I'm not even sure I've seen Star Wars all the way through. So it's not the sci-fi element that makes me love Hitchhikers. I can tell you it's very funny and is still relevant today. For instance, it sends up the ridiculous reasons different nations go to war. At one point, there's a war that's been going on for several thousand years because someone just sneezed at the wrong moment. But you know what? I don't want to overanalyze why I love it. Because I just love it. And what I'm trying to say is there'll be something out there that you really love just for itself. Not because of what it can give you or how it will improve your career. It just anchors you somehow. To tell you the truth, I was nervous about reading Hitchhikers again. Would it stand up to the test of time? There's plenty of other books that I've read again and thought, oh dear, and sent them straight to the charity shop. But reading Hitchhikers, in fact, all five books in the trilogy during the first lockdown, that gave me an anchor during those bewildering times, when it felt like our world had been yanked from underneath us. Just like Arthur Dent, who at the beginning of the first book lies down in front of a digger to prevent his house being demolished to make way for a new bypass. What he doesn't know is that Earth is about to be demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass, and by lunchtime he will be the only human being left in the galaxy. And my God, haven't we all had days like that? When it felt like our world exploded. Anyone could be Arthur. Imagine, on a Thursday morning, your world doesn't fall apart. It disappears. Demolished. Gone. Vomited into no kind of atmosphere, you are bounced between stars, teeth sucked down to your genitals and back again, only to crash into the longest open mic in history, with no MC to shout time to those with a vogon inflated sense of their own importance. A babelfish in your ear translates every excruciating word, and enlightenment, it turns out, isn't all it's cracked up to be. Pushed out of an airlock, time ties a bungee cord around your neck, and you can't tell if you're laughing because repetition is funny or because you're hysterical. You haven't ingested ayahuasca with a Colombian shaman. It is just shitting life. Enough to blow your head off and ram the immensity of the universe into its space. No amount of tea will help you figure this out or push it back into place. Come to think of it, that could be any given Thursday. Right now, I have just lost a friend to cancer. Another has been given a short amount of time to live, and other important people in my life are going through relationship breakdowns. Although none of these crises are happening directly to me, it's a lot to hold, to be a witness to. It's a powerful reminder that more often than not, just when you think you've got your house in order, along comes a knock at the door and you are evicted from the life you thought you had so beautifully set up. And no one, however charmed their life may look, is exempt from this process. All you can do is stick your thumb out and hitch a lift on the next passing spacecraft, which could take you anywhere at all. So that was Read Hitchhikers. What anchors you in times of chaos? If it's not losing yourself in a good story, I hope you have something else that brings you peace, calm, groundedness. We're taking a short break from making the podcast now, whilst we go on tour with the live show of This Is Not Therapy! Hooray! We'll be in Buxton, 10th to the 12th of July, Carnforth on the 15th, and Morecambe on the 16th. And I hope to see some of you there. After that, I'm going to spend the rest of the summer writing a few new stories for you. So expect to hear back from This Is Not Therapy, the podcast, sometime in late September. Thanks to Neil Spokes for all his magical technical jiggery pokery. And thanks to you for listening. May you have a delightful summer. And may you always get to eat your ice cream before it melts. Hi, Tina again. Thanks for listening to This Is Not Therapy. All the books and resources mentioned in the podcast are listed in the show notes, where you can also sign up to my monthly newsletter. If you want to book me for a talk or show, or even buy a book, please go to www.tinasederholm.com. finally, don't forget to subscribe. Snoring.